I want to work through a little bit of this, maybe not as familiar a story from the Bible as others, this story of 2 Kings, one prophet Elijah to another prophet Elisha, which is frustrating that their names are so similar for any preacher who's ever tried to preach about either of these prophets together. But before I work through the passage, I want to reflect a little bit about what's been very helpful for me in a midst of change over these past months. As Sharonda mentioned, in our tradition, it's kind of like the army. One day the bishop calls and says, hey, I want you to consider this. And you understand, if you've ever had any kind of experience with someone like our bishop, James Swanson, the consideration is for a few seconds. And then you say, yes, sir. And so in these months of transition, as my family has said goodbye to a congregation that we've loved dearly and been apart for 9 years, and begun to fall in love with this new congregation here in Clinton, one of the great gifts to me personally in this change, in this transition, has been Sharonda Medina. And I wanted to take a moment of personal privilege to say thank you to Sharonda. You have been a rock. You have been a source of wisdom, and in our conversations over these past weeks, it became evident that God was doing something in her heart and her life, that God was calling to expand her ministry, to expand her portfolio, but also to expand her platform, and Sharonda was willing to say yes, and I want to say something to this congregation, the connection. I know that Sharonda has been a source, a constant, and an assurance for you in these years where there's been a lot of transition in the life of the church. And I want to be very clear that Sharonda is now going to be able to do and lead our church in some new and exciting ways. And so I want to say thank you for sharing her with the rest of the congregation and with the wider community as she gives more and dedicated leadership to our discipleship ministries. As her ministries expand, she'll be able to give more of herself to our church and our community. And they'll get to see what you have seen, which is her heart and her ministry and her passion. But I know that change is hard and change is difficult. And I want you to hear from me, thank you, but also know that Sharonda's not going away. And in fact, she'll still preach because I'm the kind of pastor who knows that if I preach 52 Sundays a year, I'm not going to be as effective as I can be if I don't have a chance to worship, if I don't have a chance to recharge and go on vacation and to just sit out there as well and receive. And so you haven't heard the last of Sharonda Medina as your preacher, and I want you to know that. And if you could join with me in saying thank you to her for these the leadership she's brought in, not just for the connection, but for our whole church in these months of transition, to say thank you, Sharonda. Thank you. Yeah, I'm the kind of person that I would love if there was never any change in the world. I'm a creature of habit. I have the same routines. I like my cup of coffee. In fact, 2 cups of coffee, but no more, because I've learned that more than 2 cups of coffee in the morning, I can't sleep at night. And so getting those 2 cups in, I'm good. I love routine. I love having everything normal and everything. And then Megan and I had kids, and all of that went out the window. And so I've had to embrace change. I've had to embrace the fact that not everything stays the same and not every day is the same. But what I hope to share this morning is that though there's so much in our world and in our life that can change, there are some things that will remain the same and that we can hold on fast and stand firm on those things that do not change. I want to work through, again, this passage from 2 Kings, and so I'll read a little bit and then do some reflection. As I said, for some of you, you may have encountered this passage before, but if you haven't, I want to let you know, here in the second chapter of the book of Kings, the prophet Elijah, who has been a prophet of God for many years, who has stood up against false prophets and has proclaimed the faithful word of the Lord in good weather and in bad, in popularity and in discontent. He's preached to the peasants of the villages in Israel, and he's preached to the kings. And without fear or favor, he has proclaimed the word of the Lord. And yet, as happens to all of us, Elijah is getting old. And he senses in his soul that his days as a prophet are drawing to the end. One of his assistants, named Elisha, has journeyed with the old prophet to a very familiar place, to the banks of the River Jordan. And we hear this passage from 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord is sending me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And so the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went. And they stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. And then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. Now, you may not be familiar with ancient Israelite geography. And if that's okay, that's okay. What's happened here is Elijah and Elisha have journeyed to the River Jordan. And Elijah has taken off a piece of fabric that he would wear over his shoulders that was a sign of his prophetic office. This mantle, we would think of it as like a stole or a scarf. And he had taken it off, and he had rolled it into kind of a sling, and he struck the river. And the river parts. And Elijah and the young man Elisha cross through dry ground, just like the ancient Israelites had done centuries before when Moses and the people had fled Egypt and escaped slavery and through the Red Sea into the wilderness, and then 40 years later from the wilderness through the River Jordan into the Promised Land. But Elijah and Elisha have now crossed out of the land and back into the wilderness. Something about this is poignant because Elijah knows that he's leaving the Promised Land but heading back to be with God. And so the two men come out onto this wilderness. And then this happens. Elisha asks in verse 9, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Let me inherit a double share of your spirit." And he responded, "You have asked for a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." And as they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended into a whirlwind and into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. This conversation that's happening between Elijah and Elisha may not make a lot of sense unless you know this little bit of history. Elisha considered Elijah to be his father in the spirit. And he asks his spiritual father, "Can I have a double share of the inheritance?" Which seems a bit greedy, don't you think? If you ask someone, "When you die, can I have double the stuff you were planning on leaving me?" That's not what he's exactly asking. He knows that his spiritual father, Elijah, the greatest gift he has is the Spirit of God. And Elisha's getting the sense that he perhaps might succeed Elijah as the new prophet. And if that's going to be the case, he can't simply have just the same amount of spirit. If he's ever going to hope to fulfill the shoes of his Father, he's going to need a double blessing of Spirit. He's going to need God's Spirit times two. He knows he cannot do the task alone. And if Elijah is not going to be with him, he's going to need an extra blessing poured out. But did you notice what Elijah said to Elisha? Be careful what you ask for. You ask for a hard thing, and I'm not the one who can give it to you. But stay here, and if I'm taken up into heaven, the same one who takes me into heaven, if he chooses to bless you, he will. And so this famous scene, the Chariots of Fire, which is more than just a theme song, it's an actual scene out of the Bible, takes Elijah into heaven, and there Elisha is alone, by himself, by the river. Verse 13, he picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and he struck the water. And he said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to one side and to the other. And Elisha went over. You see, Elisha didn't know whether or not God had actually blessed him until he actually went up to the river and did a little bit of work. You know, sometime in my own life, I pray for peace and I pray for something to happen. And I trust that God will make it happen, and then I sit and wait. But Elisha decides, well, I'm not going to wait. Let's see if this thing works. And he takes up that stole, that piece of fabric that his father had worn for decades, and he slaps the water. And he says, "God, are you here?" And the water parts. And Elisha crosses back into the promised land. Now here's the thing. I've read a little bit of the rest of the story. And so I'm pretty confident in saying that Elisha was still a bit nervous, still a bit anxious, still a bit uncertain of what this new responsibility would be. But the one thing he was certain, because he had seen it there at the River Jordan, the Spirit of the Lord was with him. And that though the messenger had changed, God's message was still the same. As Christians, that's the reality that we live into. That messengers come and go. Prophets are called up for a season, and then they are released, and a new prophet is called. Messengers are called by God to speak God's truth. All the ancient prophets saw this to be true. Elijah and Elisha, Isaiah and Jeremiah, all of these great men of faith who were called to preach and proclaim God's message for a time. And in time, their message proclaimed that there would be one who was coming who would be God with us. We called him Jesus. And he picked up the mantle of those great prophets of Israel and proclaimed the good news that the Spirit of the Lord was with him and the Spirit of the Lord was with us. And then in his death and resurrection, in his ascension to glory, you know what he did? He turned around to a group of ragtag fishermen, tax collectors, and sinners and said, "It's your turn. You will now be my messengers." And he sent the apostles out to the entire world. And even though the messengers changed, God's message remained the same. This morning in the life of our community of faith, we're doing a bit of swapping out messengers. And in the midst of all of this, you have been so welcoming to my family. My wife Megan, our two kids, Henry and Catherine. Catherine is under the assumption that all of this is for her birthday. And we're just going to let her think that. And so I want to thank you for welcoming our family. You know, even in the midst of positive change, there's still some anxiety that can come. I imagine that even in the midst of all of the great things that we've been doing together, there's still some questions. There always are. Just like Elisha, when he got back, I'm sure there are people questioning him. Where's Elijah? What'd you do with him? Why do you have his stuff? Is he coming back? He left you in charge? And perhaps you have questions. Is Ricky going to be a good preacher? Is he going to like me? Am I going to like him? I want to answer some of those questions, not all. A question that I've gotten several times, do you root for Ole Miss, State, or Southern Miss? Here's my answer. Yes. Will you like my preaching? I hope so. The one thing I can promise to you is that every time I have the opportunity to stand on this platform, my goal is to clearly and faithfully articulate God's word and share the hope of the gospel of Jesus. I love worship, and I feel and believe that worship is the center of who we are. It is what God made us to do. And so each and every Sunday, it is my heart's desire to worship with you, to open up God's word, and to share just a bit of what God has shared with me. But I want you to know it's a two-way street. All of us who lead in worship know that we are just part of the worshiping community. It's the body of Christ that is the living word as Jesus in his spirit floods our worship service. Second, will you like me? Well, I hope so. I hope we can be friends. There are a lot more of you than there are of me, so please forgive me if I take some time learning names. More than anything, I desire not just to be a friend, I desire to be a pastor. I desire to be your pastor. I've wanted to be a pastor since I was a little boy. Since I was 12 years old, this is what I've wanted to do. You know, when other kids wanted to be firemen and policemen, doctors and soldiers, I was that weird kid who wanted to be a pastor. One day, my sister loves to tell the story that she came home, we all came home from church one day, and she found me in the living room. And I don't know if your house had one of these. We had a living room that nobody went into. You had one of these things? It's this perfectly preserved room with the nice furniture and the couch and the piano and the clean carpet that we kept just in case we had company, which we never did. And so the room sat empty. And after church, she came and she found me, and I was in there. I had rearranged all of the furniture into rows. I had gotten all of my G.I. Joes and all of my sister's Barbie, and I'd set them up as the congregation. I'd gotten my dad's big bathrobe and wrapped it around myself. And I was preaching to this church. My sister said, from that very moment, she knew there was something a little bit different about her little brother. It was a good day. Four people joined the church that day. It's good. That was when I was 12. If you're wondering, I'm 37, and which may sound young to some of you and old to some of you. I don't know. Starting to figure out that living into middle age is kind of weird. Well, what it does mean is that from 12 years old to today, for 25 years, I have been preparing and praying and learning and studying for the humble opportunity to be your pastor. But I know that just because I get my name on the door doesn't make it happen. And so my promise is that I will visit you when you are sick. I will laugh when you're having a good time. I will cry with you when you are sad. I will celebrate with you at weddings. I will baptize your children and new believers. I will stand with you beside the graves of our saints as they cross to the promised land. And I hope that in some way in between all of those moments, I will become your pastor. And together, we will walk into God's kingdom. 1,000 years after Elisha came back through the River Jordan, Jesus came to that same river. It was there that he was baptized and began his ministry, teaching and preaching God's good news of forgiveness, of love, of freedom from our sins and our shame, preaching a message that in God we could live fully and authentically, not just in this life, but in a life to come, and that we did not have to fear anything, not even death itself. He picked up the mantles of the great prophets of Israel, and the Spirit of his Father anointed him to preach to a new beginning. The messenger had changed, but the message stays the same. And that is the firm foundation and the good news that we celebrate this morning. God's message. God's message is forever. Let's pray. Eternal God, we are grateful that you have brought us here to this place to worship you and to hear from you. And so we pray that as your Spirit has called forth messengers for centuries, for thousands of years, that the message would flood our hearts again today. And that as you send us out from this place, you would help us to trust in your Spirit's leading. And that wherever we go and whoever we meet, we might share the good news that we have heard today, that all things in this world may change, but your word and your message of love and hope will stand forever. Friends, as you go forth from this place, I invite the Spirit of God to fall upon you once more. As you go out and face this world of change and uncertainty, I pray that you will hold on to the blessing. The Spirit of God is changeless, that God is faithful, and that though everything else might change around you, God's message remains the same. So go forth in that good news to love and serve the Lord. Amen.